Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I think most of us have a special word or two. Can you think of some words that might be special to you?
Love.
Love is a good word. Anything else?
Faith.
Faith is a great word.
Peace.
Oh, peace is a wonderful word.
Hope.
Yes.
Compassion.
Yes. There is a special word that we use in church that we are going to not be using during Lent. Any idea what that word is?
Hallelujah!
So guess what we're going to do today? You're each going to get an hallelujah. Helen, can I have you help me?
Help as well.
Give everyone an hallelujah. And yes, because I have nothing else to do, I have hallelujahs in different fonts. Every one of them is different because every one of us is different. So what I'm going to be asking you to do as you come forward for communion is to come forward and drop it in the bucket that we have. And we are going to bury our hallelujahs because we're not going to be saying hallelujah again until when? Easter, that's right. Easter morning, the Alleluias will come out in force. On Easter morning, we will be singing Alleluia over and over and over again because we won't have said or sung Alleluia for all of those days of Lent. So we're going to be putting away our Alleluias. We're going to be burying them symbolically. And part of it is because of what Alleluia means. Alleluia is actually a combination of words. Put together, it means praise God. And it's not that we're going to stop praising God. It's just we're going to put away some of the joy that Alleluia means. Make sure you take one for yourself. Thank you. So that word, Alleluia, that word of joy, we're putting away for this time of year with the idea that it will be so much more important to us when we have been away from it for a while. You know what they say, that absence makes the heart grow fonder? And we don't even think about Alleluia most of the time. We say it and we sing it all the time. We said it just before, or sang it just before the gospel. It's just such a part of us that we won't really notice it until it's gone. So that's what I'm going to ask as you come forward for communion. Just drop it there, and we'll put some soil over it, and we'll see what happens at Easter time. All right? So, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A voice that spoke from the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." There are many chosen people in the Bible. Moses was chosen to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery. He was also the one to whom God gave the law embodied in the Ten Commandments. Isaiah was chosen as a prophet to provide words of comfort as well as condemnation. In the Old Testament, we also see Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, David, and a whole number of others chosen for special purposes by God. And in the New Testament, we see many chosen ones, especially the apostles and the other followers of Jesus. But the one who is chosen with a capital C is Jesus. In today's gospel reading, Jesus takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up to a mountain to pray. Those three seem to form a sort of inner circle that have experiences of Jesus that the others do not. It is those three who witness the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, as well as other miracles, and they are the only ones present at the Transfiguration. The Gospels do not indicate why these three seem to be singled out. I like one statement that I read about why Jesus seemed to spend more time with these three than with the rest of the 12. That writer hypothesized that the reason was that they were the most unpolished, the ones most in need of Jesus' attention. Peter, he frequently blurts out what he's thinking without pausing to consider. And James and John, they were called the sons of thunder. When Jesus and his disciples were traveling through Samaria and were unable to find lodging for the night, James and John asked if Jesus wanted them to call down fire upon the Samaritans. Jesus rebuked them, saying that he came not to destroy, but to save. And James and John were also the ones who argued about which one should sit at Jesus' right and his left when he entered into his glory, again receiving a rebuke. It is possible that these three are mentioned because they are the ones who later were the leaders in the early church, as described in the book of Acts. But I like the idea that Jesus knew that if he gave these three disciples additional attention, he could smooth their rough edges and polish them into something special. Peter, James, and John witness an awe-inspiring experience on the mountaintop. As Jesus is praying, his face changes and his clothes become dazzling white. Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets, appear and talk with Jesus. They appear in glory, which show that they are heavenly beings, and they speak with Jesus about his departure, which he is about to accomplish in Jerusalem. This is a foreshadowing of Jesus' death, his exodus, as well as of the glory of his resurrection. And Peter, not knowing what he's saying, tells Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But as he said this, a cloud overshadowed them, and then a voice spoke from the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Earlier in this chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus asked his disciples who the crowd said he was. They answered, "John the Baptist," but others, "Elijah," and still others, that one of the ancient prophets has arisen. Then Jesus asked who they said he was. And Peter quickly answered, "The Messiah of God." In this experience on the mountaintop, the three disciples are seeing who Jesus really is. They gain a glimpse of the glory of God and learn that Peter was correct in his expression of faith. The one that they are following is not John the Baptist or Moses or Elijah or any of the prophets returned from the dead. Instead, he is far greater than those who have come before him. He is the Messiah, the fulfillment of the law and the prophecies. This is the last Sunday before we enter the season of Lent. It is the time when we prepare our hearts and our minds for the great feast of Easter. We will be observing Jesus as he journeys toward Jerusalem and the cross. And we will be asked over and over to make the decision to follow him, knowing that we will be observing his face transformed in agony, knowing that the road to Jerusalem leads to death, but also knowing that death is not the end of the story. Instead, the glory of God will be revealed more fully at the resurrection, when Jesus will shine for all the world to see. During Lent, we will have the opportunity to journey together on Wednesday evenings, beginning this week with Ash Wednesday and ending the Wednesday before Palm Sunday. Starting next week, we will be joining with Union Congregational and St. Luke's Episcopal for soup, supper, and worship. This will be a time for fellowship, and we encourage you to come as you're able and invite your friends, your family members, and your neighbors to attend. Each week, we will focus on one episode from season one of the series, The Chosen, and use it for some directed conversation time while we eat. The opening statement of episode one asserts, "The Chosen is based on the true stories of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Some locations and timelines have been combined or condensed. Backstories and some characters or dialogue have been added." It also urges readers to read the Gospels themselves if they want to know what the real story is. Dallas Jenkins stated that his goal in creating the series is to help people to know Jesus better and to love Scripture more. To do so, he and the other scriptwriters have taken the Gospel accounts and, using quite a bit of artistic license, have fleshed out various characters and added backstories to help viewers see the people in the Bible as real people. Real people who dealt with the same types of issues that modern people do, such as family members, job concerns, finances, and taxes. So when you view the episodes, don't be surprised if the characters are not the way that you would have pictured them. I would never have imagined Matthew the tax collector as someone on the autism spectrum, nor would I have imagined Peter as someone who would collaborate with the Romans in order to pay his tax debt. The hope is that this series will serve as a springboard for discussion and encourage you to open your Bibles and read the Gospels and find out what they really do say. Compare what you view with Scripture, realizing that the series is simply the idea of one group of people about what it would have been like to have been around Jesus, to have been a fisherman or a tax collector or a religious leader called into a radical relationship with the preacher, teacher, and healer from Nazareth known as Jesus, who also turned out to be the long-awaited Messiah. In the study guide, the writers note that the series titled The Chosen refers to multiple things, including God's chosen nation of Israel and all those whom Jesus chooses. They note that God repeatedly rescued Israel in spite of their constant rebellion, and that each time God's rescue served as a reminder that they were God's beloved chosen people, repeatedly forgiven and restored, set apart and protected, provided for and loved, daily led on earth and assured of spending eternity with God in heaven. With the coming of Jesus, the promised Messiah, the status of chosen is extended to all who respond to his call. Thus, those of us who believe in the gospel message, those of us who acknowledge our sinfulness and our need for a Savior, those of us who take up our cross and follow Jesus, are also the chosen people of God. Peter wished to stay on the mountain, to make dwelling places there, to revel in the mountaintop experience. There's nothing wrong with mountaintop experiences, those times when we feel close to God, when we receive an acknowledgement that our lives are headed in the right direction. Perhaps you've had such experiences, whether or not they occurred on an actual mountaintop. Times when you were with people that helped form you in your faith. Recalling these experiences can give us the strength that sustains us in difficult times. It is possible that Jesus needed this experience to sustain him as he left the mountaintop and journeyed toward the cross. Perhaps Peter, James, and John found strength in the memory of that experience as they encountered hardship while leading the early church. Peter may have hoped that by building dwelling places for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, he could have a lifetime of mountaintop experiences. But Jesus needed to come off the mountain, back down into the world, and start his journey to the cross. And Peter, James, and John also could not stay on that mountaintop, for they had their own journeys to make. Perhaps that is why the voice came from the cloud, redirecting Peter's attention. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen. Listen for the voice of Jesus as he calls you. Yes, you. Saying, I have chosen you. Follow me. You are called. You are chosen. You are chosen people of God. Amen." And let us join together in singing, "We are a chosen."